When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back to a Festivus edition of Primetime, SOB edition. Schulte, Ordner, and Buckley here with you. Isaac and Souk out on their Christmas break. I don't know much about how those guys are doing other than what I've seen on the social meds, and that Souk got a brick put through the window of his car. That's really fun.
I feel like he's got a nice Festivus then.
He definitely has an airing of grievances, and if he meets the person who did it, there might be a feat of strength as well.
I was going to say, that is not the guy that I would put a brick through their window. And I'm a large guy.
I'd almost feel bad for the person putting the brick through the window if Souk caught them in the act. But we don't have to go there because Souk didn't. He just got a passenger seat full of shattered glass, and that stinks. So I doubt anybody who did that is actually listening or even has a radio, but that's a big bummer.
And they might now.
The big man's car is doing a little bit better. So let's move on to our airing of grievances, Festivus edition of Primetime. There are plenty, and there are many coming in on the fan text line from you. I've got a handful that I brought to the table. One of them is just all of the bitching about the college football playoff. As I was telling you in the break, mm-hmm. I think that you can identify there might be some things that are worth reworking or fine-tuning without saying the whole thing sucks.
Yes, because it doesn't suck.
We are four games into this brand new shiny thing, and everyone's already saying it's broken. Okay, the first round might not have been perfect, but you're getting a lot of great games in the quarterfinals,
yes,
funneling to the best true champion you'll have ever had in college football, and it's not going to matter that Ole Miss and Alabama weren't there for it. As much as I would like Oregon to not be an underdog in their very first game as a one seed, I'm not going to complain and say that this whole thing is stupid. It's not. We don't even know that yet. So that would be one for me. But then additionally, let's see where to go here. The state of the NBA is one for me, and this gets brought up a lot on this show. There's a lot of weird directions that you can go with it. There's a lot of reasons for where we are, but in general, mm-hmm. I think load management has been a big part of it, not knowing for sure who's going to be playing which nights and not seeing the star players regularly in the lineup, I think it's tough for people to follow. It's not like baseball where you play it in series and you know you're going to see the number one starter right. Every Saturday or whatever it's going to be. But there are too many games that not enough people care about, and that hurts the sport overall. The owners will never say we need fewer games because that means less revenue for them. The players will never say I need to play all 82 because that means their bodies are breaking down and maybe they're not getting paid. And then you combine all of that with the guys who are the best athletes. We need to fast track to the NBA. There's not, and you could say this in football too, there's not as much development professionally as there used to be. And so guys just kind of get there and it's like sink or swim. And it feels like there's a lot of dudes who could be great players who are not NBA ready and maybe never get NBA ready. And on top of it, you have the Steph Curry effect, which I enjoyed the absolute peak of, but the whole three-pointer revolutionizing the game and every team taking 40 threes a game, even if your three-point shooters suck, it's not good. I don't want to say it should be reserved for someone special like Curry or like Peyton Pritchard, who's now lights out now, mm-hmm. but when entire teams are doing this, and then on top of it, the best players aren't even playing, I don't really know where you go. My grievance would be is the NBA is not as fun as it used to be. There feels like there's not as many star players. Yep. The games aren't as competitive. It's just in a rough spot.
I feel lame saying this, especially as the young guy on the show and at the station, but I don't like the style of play. The style sucks. I get why they do it, right? Like, you watch the Boston Celtics. They just won an NBA championship. They were in an NBA championship series that they just lost a couple years before that. They have the best young American player, probably the best duo of young players or relatively young players in the NBA right now. They have an absolute unicorn in Kristaps Porzingis. Their bench plays hard. They have two guards who actually play defense and are really good at it, right? Like, and you have Al Horford, one of the better NBA players, like, from a likability standpoint.
You have a beautifully constructed team.
It's beautiful. And Joe Mazzulla is a crazy person. Yeah. He's legitimately
and
a psychopath.
Wildly entertaining.
He wants to get choked out all the time. Like, that's his goal. He's like, I had a good day today. I'm going to make sure that my jiu-jitsu instructor puts me in an arm bar and breaks my arm. That's what he wants to do. They should be must-watch television. And I hate watching them play, because all Jason Tatum is going to do is, if he can't immediately get to the basket, he's going to dribble around the three-point line. They're going to kick the ball around until they find someone who has a semi-open three-point shot, and then they're going to chuck it up. And they're going to play the law of big numbers. If they shoot by their averages, they're going to win more games than not. But the product isn't fun.
Mm-mm.
Guys aren't trying to figure out that mid-range jumper, right? If it's not working for you, you don't just keep chucking up threes, because eventually they're going to go in. It's a finding of who's going to be open in this spot. Hey, my shot isn't going today. I'm going to play stronger defense, or what have you. The style isn't appealing. Like, it's weird, but the college basketball version of basketball is worse, much worse.
God, the fundamentals aren't even there, yeah.
But I would say it's more fun because anything can happen at any moment. There's chaos. There's true, utter chaos in college basketball, to where...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
At the right moment, the perfect thing can happen for one team, and all of a sudden, they win on a last-second shot. Where in the NBA, it just feels like it is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with both of you guys on this. The NBA, I feel like there's a couple of reasons for this. One, referees don't let players have fun anymore. I don't know if that's the directive from like Adam Silver, or like rivalries kind of that used to be formed between, you know, Blazers and Lakers players, you know, Ruben Patterson self-calling himself the Kobe stopper back in the day. Like, that kind of stuff isn't allowed to happen on the court anymore, because as soon as a glare is given, Anthony Edwards gets a T.
Yep.
And then on top of that, you highlight the less talented players that are being given millions millions of dollars, even though they're not ready. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest reason for this, and there's actual facts behind this. This is stats talking, not just me blowing out my ass here. I'm saying that I do believe that the need to not just, you know, manage their injuries and not want to play every single game, but the need to be a superstar, not just in the NBA, but in life. The need to be a Hollywood star. Paul George, for instance, I don't know if it was through the first 10 games played or for his first 10 games played of the season, but in 10 games, he had 16 podcasts released in the first 10 games of this season. Go back and look at Paul George.
The new media, baby, yeah, led by Draymond Green.
And he missed some of those games with a leg injury. And no, you don't need your leg to talk, but what my point is that it is obvious that basketball is not at the front of these guys' minds. And guys, screw the amount of money they're making, but I think if you are a highly paid professional, that job should be at the top of your mind and should be your main focus. Am I crazy in that?
I don't think you're crazy. It's hard to, as you said, the podcasting and the injury thing is a tightrope walk a little bit, but in general, there's a lot of interest, self-interest in brands and things like that where, like you mentioned, the product's not very good. We need to get back to that being at the forefront, perhaps.
And I think the reason also for the product, like, Schulze, you talked about people don't fight anymore. People seem to just kind of all be buddies. Well, that's because they are. Mm-hmm. They all played the same AAU circuit together. They all played with the same teams. And someone knew somebody, right? Like, that's how it always is. Again, football, it's starting to get that way with 7-on-7. And I didn't play big-time college football. But I played big enough to where I knew somebody, or I knew somebody who knew that player. I knew, or I played against that player, right? Like, I went to a camp against that player. And that was high school football 10 years ago or so, 9-10 years ago. And that was without a 7-on-7 circuit. That I wasn't doing any of the O-line stuff. That wasn't really a thing back when I was in high school. And maybe it was, and I just wasn't doing it. But football is probably 10 to 15 years behind what basketball and baseball are doing when it comes to the middle school, high school, select teams. You're traveling around the country. You're playing in all these tournaments. And so I know what it was like when I'd go and play up against, you know, a rival team where it's like, oh, hey, I know that guy. I played against him, or I played with him, or he was at this camp and I met him at that camp and he was a nice guy, or hey, we went on the same official visit. So I can only imagine what it is for guys who went through the same AAU camps. They went through the same Rising Stars camps. They probably played on the same area team. Remember, most of these guys, when they're in high school, middle school, they don't play on one basketball team. They play on eight. Mm-hmm. They play on a bunch. And whenever they can get to the game or get to a practice, they do it. That's the other thing. No one really practices anymore. They just play a bunch of AAU games, which is great for like in-game learning necessarily, but it's not great for your fundamentals. So some of it too isn't even an NBA problem.
And often it's the exposure that's getting out ahead of the development. So it's like I'm being seen, but am I getting any better when I do get seen?
Because what gets you on that and one mixtape? It's that crazy three-pointer that you shoot with two hands on your face.
Yeah.
Or it's you
the
getting
guy who
the
you
bucket.
Ankle drop and you tell him get up off the floor while you bust a jumper in his face.
100%. Like, think about it this way. And I know this isn't exactly basketball and it is an NBA, but it is the truth because it's out there. Dusty retweeted this. It was at the beginning of December. It was a legit thing. A 5-year-old put out a 7-on-7 team transfer notice.
I saw that.
Now that I say it, I think it was a 5th grader, not a 5-year-old.
Fifth grader, but yes.
Yeah, 12-year-old, that makes
put
sense.
Put out a transfer, I loved being on this team, but now I'm looking elsewhere. And that, while it is a bit extreme and a bit over the top, it isn't that far from the true mindset of most of those kids and people that age. And I get it, because you know what? You know what I wanted to be on? I wanted to be on the And One mixtape. I wanted to be on the Under the Radar Rising Star. I wanted to have my face in Northwest Prep Report. I wanted to be that guy. I remember wanting to be one of the top athletes at the Nike regional, the opening, you know, all that stuff. So I get it. I'm not that far removed from it. But I also understand that in the long run, it seems to be detrimental. And right now the NBA has a pure talent issue. and they have a pure watchability issue. And you can say, hey, the talent is better now than it was ever before. And I agree with you. But I don't think that the talent is being used in the best way to get the most viewers. And if you're not getting the viewers, then why does it even freaking matter?
Alex Caruso just got a 4-year, $80 million contract. Dude averages like 6 points a game. Yeah, he's a defender. He fills up the stat sheet a little bit. But like, we are giving so much money to no talent. And I'm all about guys getting paid. But like, it's jumped the shark. It's getting ridiculous.
Well, and it's weird because you have this situation where it feels like there should, it's almost like the whole, like, not to get it like into too deep into like fiscal policy and things like that, it's getting into the too big to fail realm of like all the subprime loans and like all the money that's out there. The networks gave the NBA and their teams way too much money for the amount of people that are watching these games, and now there's all this extra money to go around and make all the coaches, players, and league partners fat and happy, but the product sucks, and the networks are going to have, I mean, they can't roll that back now. They've already committed that money. I don't know how it collapses, and I'm not saying it's going to, but that's kind of how we got here.